Hey guys, welcome to Our City Church. We are so glad you are here. If you're looking for some good sermons and great words of encouragement, you have come to the right place. And while you're here, go ahead and like, comment, and subscribe, and share this with all your loved ones if you want them to be encouraged as well. Now, let's join this week's sermon in progress.
But today, in talking about friends and family coming up, it really got me to think about think about the word neighbor, right? You all ever use the word neighbor? Everybody has. But who better neighbor is Mr. Rogers' neighborhood? Anybody remember that? Any of you seasoned people in the room right now remember Mr. Rogers? It was a little weird when you come walking off the street and you take your outside coat on and you put your sweater on. Not only did he put his sweater on, he zipped it up every single time. Then he took his outside shoes on. Come on, I don't even want to wear shoes half the time anyway because I'm a hillbilly. But he took his outside shoes on and put his sneakers on every single time. But his whole theme was, he was very monotone too. We had a beautiful day in the neighborhood. When he was trying to zip, I watched one episode, he was trying to zip that zipper up and he was having a hard time. He was messing those words all up. It was good. I loved it. But, you know, he did teach us the value of what a neighbor looks like and what a neighborhood looks like each and every day. But let me tell you this morning, we'll see what Jesus says about being a neighbor. Title of my message today is, Who is My Neighbor? Let's look at Luke 10 here. One day, an expert in religious law stood up to test Jesus by asking him this question. Teacher, they were always trying to get on Jesus' nerves, but teacher, what should I do? What shall I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus replied, What does the law of Moses say? And how do you read it? The man answered and said, You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said, Right. Do this and you will live. And the man wanted to justify his actions. Come on, always somebody's or always trying to find an answer, but we don't want to hear sometimes. And he said to Jesus, Who is my neighbor? Well, the definition of neighbor is somebody who lives primarily close to you or very near you, usually on the same block or in the same neighborhood. It can also mean that they're in the same geographical area as you or community, or it could also just mean helping someone and being kind to someone. It was mentioned over 125 times in the Bible, and I think this is what Jesus was more talking about than anything. It was loving neighbors as yourself, and treating them as fellow human beings. Neighbors are everywhere. They're not just someone next door to you. A study found, listen to this, 83%, this ain't me, I ain't part of this 83%, of people know 0 to 2 of their neighbors' names. Come on, can y'all believe that one? If I live next to somebody, you better, they're going to have to run me out because I'm going to find out who they are, what they like. If they're making too much noise, I'll go tell them they're making too much noise. But that's just not me. But so many of us are oblivious to ignoring the people that are right next to us. And listen, you can't pick and choose who your neighbor is. Your neighbor is someone that you come in contact with each and every day. If you have a job with the community, you are talking to your neighbors each and every day. Luke 10:30 says this. This is Jesus. He replied with a story. Jesus always loved telling stories. A Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho. And he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes. They beat him up and left him half dead beside the road. Can I tell you, we live in a world of hatred. We live in a world of grudges. We live in a world of racism. We live in a world of revenge. We live in a world of bad church examples too. All these things have left a lot of people wounded, stripped naked, left for dead. But the one thing Jesus said is to love your neighbor. He says, love God, but I also have to love my neighbor. Yes, Pastor Johnny, you have to love your neighbor. Let's check out this story. Luke 10:31. By chance, a priest came along, but when he saw the man laying there, he crossed over to the other side of the road and passed him by. A temple assistant walked over and looked at the man laying there, but he also passed by on the other side. What do you do and how do we respond when we see someone who's in need of help? Do we go out of our way Or do we say, I'll pass? Come on. You all, somewhere in your life, you may be sitting next to them right now. So don't nudge them too hard. But maybe that certain person that you go out of your way to avoid, that phone call, come on, somebody. I know y'all ain't saints out there. That phone call that you say, oh my gosh, I ain't answering that one. You got that on. Y'all got that person already, don't you? If not, I'm having an altar call. Y'all all need to be saved. How many of us do this in life? We love when it's easy. We love when it's going well. We love when everyone, oh, come on, when everyone agrees with us, we love them, right? But we pass when it's inconvenient, when it gets hard, when we get busy, or when we get fearful. A lot of times we just pass by because of our own life choices. The parable exposes the emptiness of religion without love and relationship. The Pharisees knew God. Man, they were always trying to test God. They were always trying to get up in Jesus' grill all the time. They knew God. They knew the scriptures. They knew the law. They could quote it backwards and forwards. They could recite the word for word. They were religious folks. Like those folks you see on Facebook, right? Come on, those Instagram preachers you see on social media. They look so good. All the appearances are so good, but you don't know. Oh, whitewashed tombs. Let's go on. But Christine Kane said this. That's a whole nother message right there. Christine Kane said just a week ago, everyone wants to become a Christian influencer as a career because we can make money. It's monetized. Of all the gifts I'm not hearing about is the gifts of help and hospitality. Come on, we don't want to talk about helping our neighbor. We don't want to talk about what we can do for someone else because this ain't in my notes, we live in a very selfish world. Come on, we're all guilty of it. We all want what we want, when we want it, how we want it. And we don't think about sometimes what everybody else needs and what they want. We've gotten so far away from what neighbor really is. And listen, Jesus is more concerned with the condition of your heart than the knowledge in your head. He wants to know what's inside of you, not what you can recite, not what you know, not everything. He wants to know what's in your heart. And you know what? Out of the mouth, how many of us need some mouth trouble? Need some mouth help? She does too. We all need some mouth help. But you remember in the scriptures, he called the Pharisees and Sadducees hypocrites, serpents, fools, blind guides. But they loved status more than they loved people. The priests and the Levites had a title. I remember I was 24 years in Big O, and I started from the bottom. Now I got there. But I started out changing tires and learning the things I needed to know and learning the business from the outside. I got to the place where I was selling more than the manager was out in the speed lane. And you know, I learned those things. But when I got an opportunity to move up into management, I had responsibility, but I had a totally different role. You ever notice how people change when they get a title? Suddenly, things and people and tasks are kind of beneath them, right? These two saw some of that. They had the same problem. They had the opportunity to give, but they had something else to do. So many times we see people coming up. If you're not willing to carry out a task, don't ask for a title. That a preach. Thank you. That was the Holy Ghost. Y'all hear that? If you're not willing to carry out the task, then don't ask for the title. Attitude is more important sometimes than ability. Teachability, trainability can trump talent always. Attitude is more important than position, and you have to learn how to be faithful over the small. I remember Pastor Mindy telling the interns, you got to learn how to sweep. You got to learn how to stack the chairs before you'll ever get the microphone. You have to be there for people when no one's around watching you, not when you got a selfie. So many times we want to help the homeless, but we also want that picture on the backside of it, right? What do you do when nobody's looking? How do you treat people when the world is not seeing? That's the heart condition that God's looking at. It says they passed on the other side. Even if the problem is not your fault, it doesn't mean it's not your problem. I'm going to repeat that one. Even if the problem is not your fault, you may not have caused it, it doesn't mean that it's not your problem. So many times we think because it doesn't affect us, why should we worry about it? That's not who God called us to be. He called us to love our neighbors. He called us to love the world. He called us to be light and hands and feet to this world out there, even if they don't give anything in return. Jesus gave it all, not expecting. Jesus gave it all for a maybe. Maybe, maybe, maybe. Maybe he'll come to me. Maybe she'll come to me. Jesus said, I'm going to go to the cross and I'm going to die for them, whether they will ever accept me or not. Jesus took our sin problem, our problems of sin away, and he was all alone. We must see the need and we must respond to the need. Doing nothing is a silent killer of the gospel. The enemy is not afraid of a passive church. The enemy is afraid of a church that does what it says it's going to do. When they say we're going to do something, we actually pray for someone. We actually serve our community. We actually care for people. I love Kroger. Y'all know that. Not only like they ought to give me a discount for as many times as I'm in there in a week. And Costco. But do you know there's a mission field in this world? That's at your job. It's at your school, young people, to be the hands and the feet and the light of Jesus Christ. So many times we forget. She said it so good today. We think church is all about coming in on Sunday, but we forget there's a Monday church out there. There's a Tuesday church out there. There's a Wednesday church. Because the Bible says, who is the church? We are the church. We are the ones to carry the light of the gospel to this dark and dying world right now we're in. Like a good neighbor. No. I want you to put your name. Some of y'all watch too much TV. Including me. Like a good neighbor. You got to put your name in there. It ain't State Farm. It's not the insurance company that's going to be a good neighbor to your neighborhood. It's going to be you that fills in that blank. So many times. That was good, y'all. Come on. Look at Luke 10. Then the despised Samaritan came along. We had all the religious folk came along, and they said, okay, yeah, be blessed. I hope you make it. I hope you're good. Then the despised Samaritan came along. And when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. There was racism, there was separation, there was bigotry in Jesus' day. And that wounded man was a Jew. And you got to know, the Jews despised the Samaritans. They thought they were less than, they thought they were dogs. They literally walked around Samaria so they didn't have to go through that lady because they hated those people so many times. This guy had every right, come on somebody, he had every right to leave that Jew in the ditch. And a little bit of our human natures would have justified a little bit, well, that guy treated me bad. He didn't do well by me. But compassion is based on need, not worth. He stopped. He took the time and he had compassion. His pity turned into compassion. Pity is a feeling. Compassion is an action. Listen, until you've been broken, you won't know what it's like to be hungry. You don't know what it's like to be cold. You don't know what it's like to be alone. It's hard to have compassion on those that are less fortunate than us unless you've been abandoned, unless you've been rejected, unless you've been rehearsed. Come on, unless you've been hurt. Sometimes those things in life are good for you so you can have compassion for people, so you can know how you can walk in their shoes and know how they feel. Until you've been through a divorce. Come on, there was a time when, because I'm divorced, Pastor Johnny, I wouldn't be able to stand here with a microphone in my hand. That's what the church said. But until you've walked a mile in my shoes, until you've understood what it's like to be a single mom, until you understood what it's like to be, come on, I think we just need to put ourselves in positions sometimes. Even though we've never been there, we need to start thinking, how would they feel? What do they feel like? Listen, we live in a world right now where everybody's crazy. Amen. Not everybody, but a lot of people are crazy. Everybody, including me. But I'm telling you, we don't know what people are going through right now. So many times we pass judgment on that person that's not smiling, but you do not know what they're going through, the hell that they're going through at home right now. You don't know that. Come on. Sometimes Jesus always met the needs, and so should we. Luke 10:34 says, he went over to him. The Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged them. Then he put the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn where he took care of him. A neighbor is not defined by who we are. We're defined by what we do. James says, I'm reading the book of James, and I'm about to preach it here maybe in a few months because it is so good. Faith without works is what? Dead. You need some S-C-O-S-K-O-L. Hey, I'm pretty good. I'm pretty good stand-up. But faith without works is dead. Ministry is see the need, meet the need. Am I willing to get into people's mess? Oh, and get dirty. Do I want to touch that situation? Because if I touch that situation, I might have to deal with that situation. Listen, you don't know what it's like to be a pastor and having to touch all y'all's situations. I say that jokingly, but it's a big task that we take on because we love you so much. If you're not willing to get your hands dirty, then don't get into ministry. If you're not willing to go that extra mile and to cry with someone and to be with someone, don't do what we do. That was for free for us. Am I willing to do whatever it takes to help someone? Or do we say, why do they allow those people in that church? We point our fingers and we look down our noses. And there's also a flip side to that too. We look at people who live in nice houses, that drive nice cars, that dress well, and we look at, they must all be snobs. Come on, you've done that before. They have so much money, they just must, I don't even want to be around them. Well, sometimes we judge remembering that you used to be those people. Oh, I got to say that again. The next time you're about to judge someone for something, you're about to look down your holy religious nose at someone, you need to remember where God has brought you from, where you are now, and where he's taking you to. So many times we want to pass the judgment on someone, but we've never walked in their shoes. We've never done what they've done. And God, help me go on, Lord. If it weren't for those people, we wouldn't have a church. Because church is full, Pastor Johnny, of those people. Those are the people we are here to reach. Listen, if you've been in church your whole life, we love you. We want you. But we want to reach people who are far from God, who may have never heard this gospel message. And so many times, Rick, so many times I wish I could unlearn a lot of things that I learned. I wish I could go back and just change the things I learned even from a child. Because I love those people that walk in here. Oh, this is all for free, y'all. I love those people that walk in here that don't have a clue what John 3:16 is all about. They don't have a clue what's going on. They're open and fresh, and they want to know who the real Jesus is. Those are the ones I want to touch. You know what? If you know John 3:16, you can recite the 23rd Psalm. If you can do all that, we need you too. We need you to come alongside of us. This church is not just about a pastoral staff, about a pastor and his and it's not just about us. I get so wound up sometimes. It's not just about us. It's about us. We have a mission to reach our neighbors. We have a mission to reach our schools. We have a mission to reach our neighborhoods. Jesus stepped out, and he loved these people. Jesus told us to fish for men, and he said he would clean them up. So many times we want to do the fishing and the cleaning and the everything. God says, you're not equipped. Yes. No, I'm going to take it back. Back up. He equips us to do the ministry. But so many times, God says, will you let me clean them up? Because you could be a little too judgmental. You could not be as compassionate as I do, but let me start cleaning them up. When you start seeing people's lives being changed, you don't have to say a lot to them. The Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost will take care of that for you. His mission was to save and love people. I love Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates. He doesn't just tell you about it. He demonstrated it to us, his own love towards us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't wait till you had it all together, because you're never probably going to have it all together until he comes and takes us out of here. This parable reminds us that neighboring will require sacrifice. It will require us to move out of our comfort zone. Jesus walked the talk, and he showed us his love. And look at the rest of the story. The next day, the Samaritan handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, take care of this man. If his bill runs higher than this, I'll pay you the next time I'm here. This parable reminds us that there being a neighbor will come at a cost. 2 days' wages for a stranger. Sometimes we won't even give anybody we know $10. 2 days' wages for a stranger. The blessing of giving only comes when we give. He released his silver. He released his money. Ministry will cost you something. It will take your time, but it'll also cost you your treasure too. Got silent on that one. So many of us will give of our time, but we have a hard time releasing our treasure. And God needs both of our time and our treasures. You have to trust God with your giving. You have to trust him that whatever you leave out, whatever comes out of your hand, he's going to do what he says he's going to do. He said, take care of him. And whatever you spend, when I come again, I'm going to repay. God says, take care of what's important to him. And James says, take care of the widows and the orphans. He also says, take care of the unimportant people that have become to you that maybe they feel unimportant. I love what Pastor Mindy says. Make sure everybody knows that there's an invisible sign on them saying you are important. You matter. I don't know if I quoted it just right, but that's the gist of it. He asks us today to pay it forward. Pay it forward to the next generation. Maybe you look down at these teenagers and these high school kids that are not paying attention over here. And maybe, I'm just kidding, not really pay attention. But maybe you look down on this generation over here. What you saw around this area and all around this thing, the Bible says be fruitful and multiply. We've been fruitful and multiplying, as y'all can see. But you're looking at the next generation of church. If we don't get them when they're that age, and when they're that age, the world's going to get them. The Bible says, again, train them up when they're young. The Holy Ghost will still go after them, because I'm a living proof of that. I was trained up. I was trained up, and I ran like a crazy banshee for about a lot of years. But no matter where I went, the Holy Ghost was always there. He was always tapping on my shoulder. He was always saying, you ain't supposed to be here. I pray that over these kids. I pray that over them. And no matter what they get themselves into, he'll always be there. Whew. Jesus went above and beyond, and he repaid us with the ultimate gift, the gift of salvation. He gave us also peace that passes all understanding. How can you have peace? It's because I know a God that gives me peace. Even if it doesn't make sense, that's what faith is. Sometimes things don't, I don't even know why I went through a sickness, but I know that on the other side of that, there is something that I'm learning from that. There ain't no guessing. I know that I learned something on the other side of it. The great reformer Martin Luther said this: God does not need your good works, but your neighbor does. Look at your neighbor next to you and say, "Won't you be my neighbor?" Oh, y'all can do better than that. "Won't you be my neighbor?" And I want you to look at the other one, the one you didn't look at first, and say, "Have I been a good neighbor?" I think every day we should wake up and say this: have you loved? How can I love my neighbor today? How can I serve my friends and my family today? How can I make a difference in the life of someone around me? Not necessarily my family, but someone that I come in contact with a smile. Sometimes you got to force yourself down that road. I'm sure that Samaritan was going, "Jew, I ain't got time for you. You hate me." But so many times God tries to force us out of our comfort zone. He tries to force us into that place to say, okay, there are people that have hurt you that don't deserve it. But the Bible says to pray for those that despitefully use you. Ouch! God, I don't want to pray for them. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. I really don't want to pray for them. But if we do that, guess what happens? We get healed. They may never know the impact of that prayer, but we do. We know that we can rest easy just knowing that we've released that to God and said, "God, I love them as unconditionally as I can, and I'm releasing." That's a hard one. I'm going to love them. We said love unconditionally. God, I'm going to do the best that I can, because that's a hard one. But I just know that when we start doing those things, you're going to start seeing peace, joy, love. I said this Wednesday night at prayer. If y'all ain't coming to first Wednesday night prayer and worship, y'all are missing something, because it's awesome. But I said this. I started praying, "God, I don't know." And it bore witness with Greg. He said he was praying the same prayer. Sometimes I just don't know, but God does. And sometimes he's just trying to get us to quit figuring it out, try to have a plan for it, and he just says, "If just release it to me." Got a text message from someone this week. Out of the blue, right? Hey, you take the small little things. I've been praying about some small things in my life. No. I've been praying some big things. But God has to remind me when he gives me a small one. That was a small testimony. It may only be this big, but I'm going to take it to where it's going to be this big one day. I'm about to be quiet. I've closed 4 times. But let me tell you something else you got to do. You have to see the beautiful potential in people. Not who they were. Not who they used to be. Come here, Paige. But what they can be. She's crying already, and so am I. We saw a young lady come to us. I don't know how old you were, 14, 15? 14, 15 years old. She said 14. No, why not? 14. And what God has done in your life, how old are you now? 27. the beautiful potential. We could have given up on her. We could have said, hey, come on, somebody. And somebody said, she can't even sing. Come on, that's true. Y'all know that's not true. But sometimes you got to see the beautiful potential in your neighbor. And you have to pour into that beautiful potential and knowing that it may not show up now, but it's going to show up. You plant a seed. Come on, y'all. You're going to get a harvest. We planted some seeds in this 14-year-old girl, and now you guys are getting to partake of the harvest of what God is doing. Thank you, Paige. I love you. We can cry together in a little bit. If y'all would stand with me, please. Beautiful potential. I love it. The man on the Jericho Road is us. Broken, beat up, left for dead. But we could also be us too that don't stop by, that don't help, but we pass by to the other side expecting someone else to do what God's called us to do. So many times we think someone else will take care of that problem. When God is highlighting that problem to you, come on, y'all guilty of that one? Y'all get your hands in the air. God has said, you could be that voice. You could be that smile. You could be that ear. You could be that loving, compassionate person they need to hear right now. But Pastor Rich, I've been hearing, sometimes you'll hear the same thing over and over and over and over. But one day, you don't know how that's going to click in somebody's heart. That Good Samaritan represented Jesus. He sees us. He saw our need. He saw how messed up we were. He saw us abused and saw us hopeless. That's why he spent everything. It cost him everything. And listen, love will cost you something. Not only did he love us that much that when he left the earth, left us earthly, he left us the Holy Ghost to be back behind so we could get led and guide. Led. He could lead us and guide us. Sorry. Jesus tells us to go and do likewise. Just as Jesus picked up and he cared for this man, Jesus heals our wounds. And I'm not just talking about physical wounds. I'm talking about spiritual wounds.
That's good.
We have an assignment to do. That's to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. Stop for someone. Pick someone up. Try to be the healer instead of the hurter.
So good.
Maybe you're the person this morning that just helps, needs help. Maybe you feel like you've been in a ditch on the side of the road and no one cares for you. Well, I got good news for you.
Yeah.
Jesus is the one that's passing by. And whether you think it or not, he sees you. He knows you. He knows your very intents of your heart and what you're thinking. That king got down into a ditch. Oh, he lifted us up. We were dirty and broken, and he paid the highest price for us. This morning, I'm asking, if you've never given your life to Jesus, it starts by making a simple confession. The confession's simple. Living it out is the part you're going to need the Holy Spirit to help you with. It starts by making a simple confession of accepting Jesus into your life. Sometimes that's just like, Father, I come to you today and I ask you to forgive me of my sins. Come on, if you pray that prayer heartfelt, God sees that. Forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart and help me. Change my mind. Change my way of thinking. Give me your mind. Jesus, thank you for loving me where I was at. Thank you for protecting me. Thank you for correcting me.
Thank you, Lord.
But most of all, thank you for never leaving me or forsaking me. Come on, these altars are going to be open. There's going to be someone up on the left and the right up here to pray with you. We can be around this altar too, me and Pastor Mindy. We can pray with you. But I'm asking you today, maybe you've been the lawyer and the priest and the Levite, and you see the need, but you let it just pass by. You're too busy, excuses, fearful. I really don't want to get involved. Ask the Holy Spirit as we get ready to do this altar call to give you a new heart, to change your heart and to be the servant that God, that Jesus was. He served for a maybe. But we have a guarantee that if we'll serve and give more, there's people that will come to Jesus just because of what we do. So as we get ready to sing this song, don't let it just be a song that we sing. Don't let it just be a time that we're ending the service like we normally always do. Let it be a time of change and say, I want my life to change personally. I want to give Jesus my heart. I want to ask for forgiveness. I want to walk with him each day. And if you're that other person, God, change my heart because I want to have a heart for what you have a heart for, which is your neighbor, which is the people that are all around you, your family and your friends. Let's get them in church next week, y'all.
Yeah.
It's not about numbers. It's not about fun and foam and dunking. It's about somebody hearing a message that could change their life forever. Now get ready to sing. These altars are open.
Thank you so much for joining us today. I hope you are encouraged. If you are looking for more information, please visit ourcitychurch.online. We love you. We're praying for you. We'll see you soon.